Welcome to the Sportscast, August 19th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net, and also go to our Twitter, thesportscast1, also on Instagram. And you could also get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Football fantasy is here, 2022, and I cannot think of anyone else but Mr. Heilman. Welcome back to The Sportscast, David.
Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it's a big couple weekends of fantasy football coming up.
David, give us a brief update. Where have you been up to this past year? Even though we saw you at the NFL draft preview, but tell us what's been going on in your life and your professional life these past couple of months.
Yeah, man, things are good. Things are good. My son's pooping on the toilet now, so everyone, you know, can congratulate him on that. But as far as professionally in fantasy football, I am the lead dynasty analyst for Sports Gambling Podcast Network now. So we're doing shows. I'm one of the expert consensus rankers on Fantasy Pros, and we're doing articles, shows. So check us out. You can follow me at Dynasty Dorks on Twitter, all that, you know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all those places. But follow them at Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Yeah, David has been in the fantasy world for years, and David's always up to date of what's going on. So tell us, what is the common theme this year? Is there anything special? Is it going to be the same as the other years? Or like for example, is there more wide receivers to look at? Is there less running backs? What is your hunch for this season?
Yeah, and there's a lot of wide receiver depth. There's a ton of wide receiver depth out there, so and there's some really, really good receivers. When you do your rankings, you can very much, like, in your head, you're like, yeah, there's got to be, like, this guy's definitely a top 12 guy. You do your rankings, you're like, oh, he's 19, he's 20. I mean, there's only 12 top 12 guys. There's only 24 top 24 guys, and there's probably 40 players or 35 players you could really consider as, like, top 24, like, potentially top 24 guys.
There you have it. And we got a question from the chat real quick before we start into the rankings. Jeff Jiznak, a huge viewer of the Sportscast, asked, what does David think of Matthew Berry moving to NBC, which we spoke about before the show?
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Berry is the biggest, probably the biggest name in fantasy football, minus the players. And, it was a huge move by NBC. It kind of tells you where they're going. And, going back to the platforms, going back to their content, ESPN, honestly, they're behind the game. There's a lot of these smaller organizations like websites and apps. I mean, Sleeper is way better than ESPN. And Sleeper's only been around for a couple of years. ESPN's around forever. With NBC going to get Matthew Berry, and he's still got his own thing going on. His podcast starts Monday. He's also got the My Fantasy Life going on. Matthew Berry is going to continue to change the game and continue to be one of the top guys, no matter where he's at. And so we just keep following him wherever he goes.
Yeah, the guy is brilliant. Before we start, how many fantasy leagues are you in this year?
Too many. Don't tell my wife. I have 12 dynasty leagues, and then I'm in about about 10 redraft leagues. Well, hopefully it's not 10, but it's probably up there. And then I'm in a whole bunch of best ball leagues, but best ball is best ball.
Yeah, you know something? I've never been in more than one. Is it manageable doing multiple? I mean,
it is. I mean, a lot of times it's the same, a lot of similar players and things like that. And you just, I don't go and check. I don't have to check my stuff every single day. It's just, setting your lineups and just, maybe half an hour or so checking your lineups and things like that on a Thursday before the game and on a Wednesday night to do the waivers, or Tuesday night to do the waivers, and then Sunday morning.
Sounds good. All right, so let's go into the meat of the sandwich. Let's go, obviously, for a regular league, drafting-wise, what position would you go first?
Yeah, honestly, I think there's two different ways you can go, but the way that I typically go is running back. But if I'm in the middle or back end of the first round, I have no qualms with someone going and taking a Justin Jefferson or a Cooper Kupp and the, you know, the 106, 107 spot if you can't get one of those top guys. But, you know, if I'm in the one or two, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor, CMC. If I'm in the middle or the back, I like being able to get Justin Jefferson and then swing back around and you could get, you know, Saquon Barkley and Leonard Fournette and a lot of these good running backs in this, you know, second, third, and fourth round.
Round two, would you stick with another running back or you start going to dig into the wide receiver pool?
If I went running back first, then I probably would. So did a draft the other day and, you know, I started out with running back and then turned around and got receiver. You know, I think I got two receivers in a row. So I got Jonathan Taylor at the 102. And then I got Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, and then I got a couple more running backs after that.
We'll leave the questions towards the end, so keep sit still there. Quarterbacks, how early should you pick them up, and how late can you pick them up?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on your draft, and I'm not trying to skate around the answer, but it don't go early. I'm not getting a quarterback in the first four or five rounds. Maybe if Josh Allen somehow slips into the fifth, sixth round, yeah, you should go pick him up. But I'm usually not targeting a quarterback early. I'm one of the last guys in my draft to pick up, you know, a quarterback because there's just so many of them and it allows you to just construct a bully of a roster and then just plop that quarterback in. We got some sleeper quarterbacks, late round quarterbacks are going to throw at you later on in the show.
All right, let's go in the quarterback. Name me your top quarterbacks. Obviously, you mentioned Josh Allen, but give us the rest of your list.
Yeah, my top 12 quarterbacks, I have Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott is 10. Then I have Matthew Stafford and Trey Lance at number 12.
Trey Lance at number 12. Why? He's a new quarterback. We haven't seen much of him, but why do you think he's going to be in that top 12?
Rushing upside. When it comes down to it, you cannot ignore the passing volume. You still have to pass the ball as a quarterback, but the rushing volume's there. And in Kyle Shanahan, I trust. I think he's kept him there for a year. They're walking away from a quarterback that has he's taken them to the Super Bowl, and they're just walking away from him. It makes me believe they're very confident in Trey Lance, and I'm very confident in Kyle Shanahan and that offense.
He trusts the Niners and their offense. Let's go running back. A little thin this season. David, who are your top 12?
Yeah, starting off, I still have Jonathan Taylor as my one, but it's pretty close with him and Christian McCaffrey. They're probably in a tier on their own, but I've seen in my recent drafts, including this weekend, got to do a fantasy football draft at the pro, a live draft at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pretty amazing. Christian McCaffrey was going the 101 in a lot of places. But Jonathan Taylor at one, Christian McCaffrey two, Austin Eckler three, Dalvin Cook four, Derrick Henry at five, Joe Mixon six, Najee Harris seven, Aaron Jones eight, DeAndre Swift nine, Saquon Barkley 10, Javonte Williams 11, Nick Chubb at 12, and then I have Leonard Fournette at 13.
That is your honorable mention. Okay, with running backs, injuries is a common theme in that position. Are you afraid of McCaffrey? He has been injured before. Do you think he's a risk, or Jonathan Taylor is a little bit of a good, you know, good pick because he doesn't get injured as much?
Yeah, everyone's a risk. You know, Jonathan Taylor hasn't missed a game going back to like high school. He's a stud, but you also have, you know, kind of the rule. Historically, if someone's gotten over 370 touches, they've never finished as an RB1. And so history says that Jonathan Taylor has got, you know, uphill battle to repeat. And I will say, if people are asking, where's Alvin Kamara in my rankings, I probably need to look at it again. It depends. You know, we had the suspension in the air, so that's why I've been a little bit kind of didn't know where to put him. But now that he's not suspended and the season's almost closer, he's definitely going to be in my top 10.
Yeah, Kamara has been a talk with it. Obviously, a lot of those are RB1s. What's a good RB2 if they want to spice up their roster?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of good RB2s. I like Travis Etienne. I like Breece Hall. I know there's some younger guys, and there's you know, unproven. We saw what James Conner did last year, and obviously you can't predict injuries and stuff, but James Conner was a beast last year. And, you know, you can get him as your second guy. And then the other guy I'll throw in there is Elijah Mitchell, again, for San Francisco. But Elijah Mitchell was really good, played really, really well last year before going down to injury. And, you know, if he would have played all 16 games, he would have been, you know, top 12 running back last year.
Quite interesting list right there. I've been hearing a lot about Marlon Mack. Have you heard anything much about him?
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Mack is someone that's a deep, deep sleeper. I mean, if you go and get Marlon Mack, you can probably wait till the 12th, 13th round. Actually, did a mock draft last night. If you want me to look it up and see where he went, but I want to say it. like the 13th round. He may be the starter on paper, but we'll see. It's going to be Rex Burkhead, some Damian Pierce. We don't know. I mean, it could be flip-flopped. I mean, he started out as kind of a satellite back in the Colts when he was there. Remember, they had Frank Gore, they had Hunt, you know, he was the satellite to Frank Gore, the third down back. So
your thoughts on Chase Edmonds?
If the price is right, it's with any player. If the price is right, I'll go after him, but I'm not targeting Chase Edmonds. I'm really avoiding that Miami, that Miami backfield. Just because there's so much unknown. You asked me earlier, what's the theme? The theme is there's so much unknown. There's 10 new head coaches. There's 13 new offensive coordinators. And almost all those guys have never called plays before. So we can pretend that we know Kevin O'Connell is going to do exactly what Sean McVay did and that Mike McDaniel is going to do exactly what Kyle Shanahan did. It might be true. It might be completely wrong. And you're getting putting all your eggs in the basket of, you know, it's going to be a committee backfield. But I do agree that Chase Edmonds is just not a lead back. And so you're going to see the passing game work. Maybe in your PPR leagues, he's kind of someone you want to go after. But he's someone that historically has never really had over 14 touches in a game. It's only happened, I think, 5 times in his career. So you're not going to see him get, you know, enough. I don't think you're going to see enough touches for consistent production.
There you have it. Looking at the variables, 10 new head coaches. You got to look at that. Let's look at the wide receiver larger pool. David, love to hear your list. Wonder if Tyreek Hill is in that top 12.
So Marlon Mack went 14-10 last night. So he went in the 14th round. So again, I mean, you could get a starting running back super, super late. I just don't know if he really is going to be the starting running back.
He could be an RB3.
Yeah. Achilles injury a couple years ago. Hasn't really been the same since, but it has been 2 or 3 years ago, so maybe. All right, so my number one, Justin Jefferson. Then we have Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb above Davante Adams. I don't necessarily think Devontae is going to get the volume he used to get. I think he's a stud, but I think that he's going to, you know, regress a little bit. Still have him at 6. Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Michael Pittman Jr. at 9. Tyreek Hill at 11, Keenan Allen at 12, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen at 11, A.J. Brown at 12.
Interesting. A big drop for Tyreek Hill. Not surprised there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not any hate towards Tua or anything like that. I think, you know, you're going to see Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle very involved, and it's going to eat into each other's production. So I have them both in my top 18. But I got to drop Tyreek Hill down now that he's not with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Interesting case there. Mike Evans, I've been hearing his name and a lot of fantasy podcasts. Older wide receiver. Of course, you got Tom Brady. Is it me or is Evans kind of popular?
Oh, he's super popular. And a lot of people think that Brady's going to come out there and absolutely go nuclear. You know, this is another one with a new head coach. But they have the same offensive coordinator. And we've seen this passing offense be one of the best in the league for a long time. And Mike Evans is going to just eat with Chris Godwin, likely to be a little limited when they start the season. Godwin, they're saying, is going to be ready to go week 1, possibly. But he tore his ACL like 8 months ago. It's a little early. So for him to be a full go and get, you know, a full complement of work, there's a reason they brought in Julio Jones. There's a reason they brought in Russell Gage. I don't think Godwin's going to be, you know, a 95% snap guy right off the bat. and Evans is going to be the number one guy, and he's going to get just buku targets.
What are your thoughts over Julio Jones joining the Bucs? Will he get much touches?
I don't think so. I mean, he just did not look good. And, you know, obviously, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Julio Jones is great, who is a great player, and we all love to watch him. But he looks pretty toast last year. We'll see. And it is how they use him. If they just use him as kind of a big-bodied slot like Larry Fitzgerald, and he's like a, just a red zone guy, he could have some sneaky production, but you're not going to see Julio getting those huge bombs or taking a slant for 60 yards like he used to do.
The tight end position, a very critical position. You're top 10, and is it going to be Mark Andrews from the Ravens? Is he in that top 10? Love to hear it.
Yeah, I got Travis Kelce at 1, Mark Andrews at 2. Then I have George Kittle at 3. Dalton Schultz at 4, Kyle Pitts at 5, Darren Waller at 6, TJ Hockenson at 7, Zach Ertz at 8, Dallas Goedert at 9, Cole Kmet at 10, and your two bonuses are Dawson Knox at 11, Pat Freiermuth at 12.
Those top three tight ends, are they pretty close, you think, or you think Kelce really takes it?
They're pretty close. I do like Kelce more than Andrews. If you look last year, the splits, with Lamar Jackson, without Lamar Jackson, Andrews actually performed better fantasy-wise when Lamar Jackson was off the field. Lamar more focused on, you know, Marquise Brown and Tyler Huntley actually gave more production to Andrews. But I do think Andrews is the number one in that offense, and Rashad Bateman's the number two. I just think with Tyreek Hill out, we're talking about all these different receivers. Who's going to be the number one receiver? It's Travis Kelce. Like,
yeah,
stop the argument. Like, it's Travis Kelce, and he's a receiver. And so I think Travis Kelce is going to ball out this year. He's also got the mustache. I mean, come on.
There you have it. That's the offense. Of course, we could go into kickers, but those guys don't make some significance. Let's go into defense. Jeff Chishnack had a question about defense. Who are your top three defensive players in the league? Where you pick them?
Top three defensive players or defensive systems?
Wow. Let's go with players and then systems.
Yeah. So players, we got Aaron Donald. If you're talking about, you know, like just a dominant player. And then you got Shaquille Leonard, no longer Darius Leonard. He's absolute monster. And then you got to go with Jalen Ramsey, just a shutdown monster. And unfortunately for the NFL, two are on the same team.
And top three defensive teams.
I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as my number one. I got the Buffalo Bills at number two, and I got the Indianapolis Colts at 3. And then
you keep going from top 12.
If you're someone like me, you want the rest of my top 12?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. Tampa Bay at 1, Buffalo 2, Colts at 3, 49ers at 4, Saints at 5, Chiefs at 6, Broncos 7, Dolphins 8, Browns 9, Packers 10, Chargers 11, Patriots 12.
Patriots still make that top 12.
Yeah, and then what I was going to say, just a tip. In your leagues, if you do not have to draft a defense or a kicker, then don't. If I don't have to, I will pick up, you know, an Isaiah Pacheco or some of these, like, running backs that, like, who knows what's going to happen. You know, players get injured, players get suspended, they get COVID, whatever happens. And if, you know, week one comes around and everyone's healthy, then I cut those guys. I pick up my kicker and defense. And I usually stream defenses all year. I just look for whoever's playing the Jets or something like that. And just every week, just, all right, who are the Jets playing this week? And just scoop them up. And then, you know, like Baltimore, they get Joe Flacco week one. That's an interesting one. Cleveland gets Baker Mayfield week one. The NFL just continues to get the storylines that they want. But those are two defenses you can go after. You could also maybe go after Carolina's defense against Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, there's it's easy to target a defense to stream because you can look over at the other side and say, all right, you know, it's the Jets, it's the Giants, it's the Browns or whatever, and you can stream week to week.
There you have it. Look at the matchups. That really helps. Another question from Jeff. Which one would you rather draft in a dynasty startup? Hydra Moore, ARSB, Devontae Smith all have great profiles, but they all have questions around the offense, usage, rules, offense, the.
Yeah, this is a great dynasty question, because at the end of the day, they're all in that very similar tier of guys that I was talking about that are like your 12 to 24. But based off my rankings, I have Elijah Moore, then I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Devonta Smith. I have Elijah Moore a little bit ahead of the other two guys, and the other two guys are pretty much back-to-back in my rankings. I don't think that ARSB's production last year was a fluke, but I also note that they added DJ Chark, and Jameson Williams is going to be there. Plus DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson are healthy. It's just going to take down some of the volume. He's still going to be a good receiver. I think he's a natural slot, but he doesn't really profile as like a number one. And like Elijah Moore is probably the number one on the Jets right now. And Devonta Smith, he's got AJ Brown there, so he's got to be a number two.
There you have it. All right, so let's go to sleepers. Any possible scenarios? Let's list them.
Yeah. So I wrote down some sleepers, and sleepers is a very you got to have context. Okay, so if you're out there and you say that's not a sleeper, you maybe know a lot more about fantasy football than most people. So if you're on Twitter every day, these may not be sleepers. But if you're not on Twitter every day, I want to make sure to get everyone. In a one quarterback league, Trey Lance, I have him at 12. I think in most of your home leagues and things like that, unless you're like dynasty players or in San Francisco, people are probably not going to think about him as a top 12 quarterback. And I think you can get someone like Trey Lance and late 10th round, 9th round of your drafts, and he could easily be a QB1. Kirk Cousins, I have him right outside the top 12, but I think he easily could be a top 12 guy. I really do like the changing of the guard over there, going from old curmudgeon-y Mike Zimmer to a young, more modern offense. And I think they already talked about they're going to open up the offense. Justin Jefferson's already talking about how he's going to break some records. Like, he just is so happy about this offense. You see a lot more KJ Osborne and Irv Smith. And then Justin Fields. So Justin Fields is on a very bad team. There's no lying. There's no hiding it. But he does run the football, and he runs it really well. And you could very much see a Jalen Hurts kind of Jalen Hurts kind of a season from him, where he gets 800 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. Yeah, he still only had 16 passing touchdowns, but Jalen Hurts was a QB9 last year with 16 passing touchdowns. Well, and running backs. Yeah. So running backs, I have Ramondre Stevenson. I think he could be the running back one for the Patriots this year. They're already talking about him being in that James White role. James White retired. But Ramondre Stevenson just looked better. And all of the grades and statistics and everything says he was better than Damian Harris last year. And Damian Harris on last year's contract is probably going to be out of town here soon. Isaiah Spiller. So if you're a dynasty player, you know that name. If you're a college football fan, you know that name. Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M. He did not run the fastest 40, and it dropped his stock. A lot of people had him as the number one running back in the class. And then his 40 time, kind of sunk him down a little bit. It wasn't low enough that I'm concerned. And doing research, looking at people with 40s, you don't have to have a 4.3 to be a good fantasy football running back. I think he was in the 4.5s. He's going to be fine. He goes to the Chargers with Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler's on his podcast talking about how he's going to, share the load and all that. And this guy's a big bruiser. He is like the perfect complement to Austin Eckler. And the offensive coordinator used to be the offensive coordinator for the Saints. And they use Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. So you're going to see, kind of a similar usage, I think. And, Austin Eckler had 20 goal line carries last year. I don't think you're going to see that this year. That's why I had so many, if Isaiah Spiller gets those. And, of course, if Austin Eckler misses time, which he's been known to do, Isaiah Spiller could be a league winner. Damian Pierce, we talked about Marlon Mack. They got a young running back there that's looking really good. This team's going to want to see what they have in these young players, because they're not going to be competing that much. and then Ken Walker. Ken Walker, not Kenneth Walker. He's with Seattle, and right now he's on the mend. He had a surgery for a groin injury. He should be ready to go week one. Rashad Penny will be the starter when the season starts, but we know Penny's not really been, you know, been able to play all 16 games. So Kenneth Walker or Ken Walker could easily be, you know, a guy that starts 10 games and provide you a lot of fantasy production.
Wow. This is amazing. This is an amazing list. A couple of names that you just mentioned. And of course about the Patriots, it's just, you know, the whole James White retirement is quite massive. All right. We got a question from Jeff Jiznakiak. How do you calculate value for keepers? For instance, I can either keep Eckler in the first or Mark Andrews in the fourth.
Yeah. So I look at it like a dynasty league. So next year, what's their value going to be? And Mark Andrews is still going to be a top, you know, first or second round pick. Austin Eckler is going to be a 28-year-old running back. And so that's, he's going to slow down. And next year after that, Andrews is still going to be a top first, second round pick. Austin Eckler is probably going to be, you know, could be out of league. You know, running backs come and go pretty quickly. And so I think you get and take Andrews in the fourth, and then you know, you get another running back, a younger running back with your couple, you know, first couple picks.
A lot of different scenarios, a lot of different strategies you can take, you know, keeper leagues, non-keeper. So definitely looking forward to it. Your Giants, how optimistic are you with them, and which player would do best in fantasy?
Saquon's going to be the best fantasy option. I don't know if the receivers are going to be able to be consistent options. I did have Kadarius Toney on one of my sleeper receivers. I think he is going to be a breakout candidate. I had Michael F. Florio from NFL Network on the show, and he was like, we can talk about Kadarius Toney for an hour. He just absolutely loves him. He's done a lot of, you know, data and research, and everything points to this guy is he's either going to be a fluke and he's going to be out of league in a couple of years, or he's just going to be a breakout. Like he's too electric. The yards run per route, the, you know, targets per route run, everything points to this guy's going to be a stud.
Jeff also asks, how was the FF Expo? He's a Canadian. It was harder to come to the USA, but I followed along. Did you play in the flag game?
Yeah, I did play in the flag game. Not necessarily, you know, I wasn't expecting to play, but Trophy Smack was like, hey, you looking to play? I said, sure, let's go. And we got second place. So a lot of fun. We got to play in the stadium at the Hall of Fame Stadium, and we played flag football. We got second place, and then the expo was amazing. A ton of amazing people. Howard Bender was there, Scott Angle, all the fantasy pros guys, you know, so many people.
Well, there you have it, David. Anything else that we should be aware of this season, or you covered it all?
Well, yeah, just a couple more sleepers. So Juju Smith-Schuster and Drake London for receivers. And then tight ends are super hard to find, but if you take a late one, Cole Kmet is you know, late round tight end, looked good last night. Albert Okwunnabon or Okubanon out of Denver. Tim Patrick just tore his ACL. He's out for the season. And they run a lot of two wide receiver sets. So Judy and Sutton are going to be good, but I think Albert Okubanon is going to be good. And then David Njoku and Evan Engram.
There you have it. David Heilman's got everything covered. When is your last draft? Is it like the night before the season starts or the night of?
I have one more draft, and so it is next weekend.
Next weekend. Wow. So far, you're doing good so far, I bet. You're pretty happy with your teams.
Undefeated. I'm undefeated. So all the drafts have been good. We had my live draft at the expo was a lot of fun. It was a super flex league, and I started out with Patrick Mahomes and then Travis Kelce. So I'm pretty excited about that stack.
Travis Kelce, Mahomes. Last question from Jeff. George Pickens, ADP for start of dynasty draft. How hard you reach for him or fade potentially?
I haven't been in a startup in a while, so I don't know where he's going, but I was in a rookie draft recently. And he has gone from a mid to late second round pick to a, he's a back end of the first round pick. So if you want to get him, you're probably going to have to get him soon after Sky Moore comes off the board. So if you see Chris Olave and Sky Moore go off the board, you're going to have to start shopping for Pickens.
Yeah. Which rookie should we be aware of for this year?
Yeah. I mean, rookie receivers have been hitting a lot faster than they have in the past. In the past, it was like, you need to wait on receivers. It takes forever. And then you see like Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, Justin Jefferson, yada, yada. So, you know, I do like receivers on good offenses, which makes it hard to go Garrett Wilson. But or Drake London, but I do think Drake London and Chris Olave are two rookie receivers that can go off early. Those guys are in good offenses. They're in good, you know, well, not good, they're in good situations. Drake London should get, you know, 150 targets this year. And you're looking at, you know, Treylon Burks is another one who could, you know, be, you know, potentially the number one in his offense.
Yeah, Chris Olave definitely, I hear his name a lot lately, so he definitely would be a good, good pick maybe towards the end of the later rounds, I bet.
Yeah, and for running backs, Damian Pierce is someone, he could potentially be a starting running back there. Tyler Algier could potentially be a starting running back. I'm not as excited about him, but, you know, the volume could be there. But don't sleep on, you know, Ken Walker again, and Rashad White. Rashad White could end up being the pass catching back over there in Tampa and backing up Leonard Fournette.
There you have it. David got it covered. Yeah, in your drafts, you know, study them. Look at Dave's list, which we'll be posting in this post, in this podcast, and or linking them. And, yeah, just study it. You never know the scenarios. I like to draft a little bit closer to the start just in case any injuries for preseason. But a lot of the coaches are definitely going to reserve them for the start of the season. Wow, this is incredible. David, poll question of the day. What is your favorite potato food item? Options are French fries, hash browns, potato chips, or mashed potatoes.
Gotta go with mashed potatoes.
Mm. Butter and gravy.
Yeah, gotta go with mashed potatoes.
There you go. 50% French fries, of course, 30% mashed potatoes. Hash browns and potato chips are tied at 10.
Yeah, my son would vote French fries. I'm pretty sure that was his first words. he was eating those before he was even born. He loves those things.
Yeah, I cannot skip out. David, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you any last minute questions or to see more information about you?
Yeah, at Dynasty Dorks on Twitter is where I'm mostly at. But I actually just put a TikTok out today that said, ask me all your fantasy football questions. And it's just at Dynasty Dorks on TikTok.
Dave, would I ever see you on ESPN now that they need some help right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's go. But probably not. But we'll see.
It has been, it feels like it has been like the NFL has been kind of evolving around football fantasy a little bit, don't you think?
I mean you're seeing some of these guys that we're hanging out with on Twitter are now getting on there, and then those guys like Marcus Grant was at the expo and he was just hanging out with all of us.
No way.
He's been on the show a couple times. Michael F. Florio, both from NFL fantasy, and yeah. Mauricio Gutierrez, one of the nicest guys and one of the favorite guys that I met at the I called him Mateo Berry. He is the Matthew Berry of Mexico.
Interesting.
And him and his wife are there. It's the nicest, sweetest people. And he is a must follow. Absolute must follow.
Interesting that it's going international.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a huge following. If you look up, you know, NFL Fantasy Espanol, he is the number one guy. You're going to see his picture everywhere.
And Jeff Axe.
Michael F. Florio. Absolutely.
Which Florio? Okay, there you go. There's more than
he's
one.
He's like awesome. He's so chill. I was like, I'm doing a video compilation draft of like your favorite teams. Can I have you for the Bills? He was like, yeah. And then I before I even met him, I was like, how many retweets till you get on my show? He was like, none. Book it. Just the coolest, nicest guy. And I've never met the other guy. Nothing against him, but Michael F. Florio, hands down.
David Heilman. Okay, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1. We'll be following along what's going on in the NFL. But David Heilman, it's always been a pleasure. Every time you come, you kind of motivate me a lot more.
Let's do it. You need two drafts next year. Two.
Two drafts. Yeah, I got to shoot for that. Anyways, Dave, thanks for coming on and sharing your knowledge.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And this was your update.